Good evening. You're listening to 88.5 KRFY, Panhandle Community Radio. This is Know Your States, Know Your Community, a program where we talk to community members from this radio station here in North Idaho about their points of origin from across this land of ours. One member from each state in the union. Today we're talking about Colorado, the 38th state inducted into the union on August 1st, 1876. Colorado, the centennial state because of its induction date of 1876. Colorado ranks 21st in population with an estimated population of 5,957,493, give or take.
Minus one.
Minus one.
Because we have a Colorado representative with us, Brad Huta. Welcome to Know Your States, Know Your Community.
Thanks, Jim.
Let's get down. How long have you lived here in Sandpoint?
9 years coming this fall.
Okay. And tell us about your Colorado experience, where you were born, how many years you were there, and share your state with us.
I was born in Boulder and probably lived there the first 5-6 years of my life before moving New York, Washington. I actually lived in Spokane for a few years. Went back to Colorado at the beginning of junior high and then stayed there through high school, college, and my medical training. At the end of medical school, moved away again to New York and again back to Washington. I was at the Air Force Base. After my training in cardiology, went back to Colorado, first to Grand Junction, which is on the Western Slope. Lived there for 4 years and then in Montrose, starting in the year 2000, and moved out of there in 2016.
Okay. And do you have any memories of Boulder, where you were born? Or, you know, that's kind of asking a lot, you know, because I don't think I have any memories of from 5 years on, 5 years old and before.
Not as a child. I went actually to undergraduate school there. And, you know, college is such a funny time. It's, you know, back in those days, a lot of drugs there. Probably mm-hmm. still are. One of the things about Boulder is they have a lot of open space. And so the availability of land to build houses is quite limited. And so housing prices are extremely high. And so it's created a very select population that can live in Boulder.
So is Boulder mountainous?
It's right on the edge of the foothills.
Okay.
Just as the whole Front Range. From Pueblo, Colorado Springs, Denver, and suburbs in Boulder are right on the edge of the mountains.
Boy, one of the things that surprised me about Colorado was eastern Colorado is quite flat.
It's an extension of Kansas.
Yep. Yeah, I was going westward from Nebraska.
There you go.
And yep. I was quite surprised. It's sort of like Montana in a certain sense. We think of Montana, we think of mountains and whatever, but there's a chunk of the state that is flat. So what, tell me about Grand Junction later on. Is it different than Boulder, Western Colorado? Tell me a little bit about Western Colorado.
Well, the Western Slope is much less populated than the Eastern Slope. The Eastern Slope has Denver, all the big city stuff, all the highways. When I would travel to see my family back in Fort Collins, which is north of Denver, I would have to mentally prepare myself as I came out of the mountains to hit the interstate traffic. Because going from Denver north on I-25 would be two lanes each way of almost bumper-to-bumper traffic going 80 to 90 miles an hour. Whereas on the Western Slope, it's kind of like driving here in Sandpoint compared to driving in Spokane at rush hour. The population is so dense on the eastern side. So Grand Junction, over the years, has gotten busier, but it's still a relatively small community. It's much drier than the Denver area. The Colorado River runs through there, and so there's lots of irrigation. Just on the eastern side of Grand Junction is Palisades, which is a wonderful area for fruit and vineyards, all kinds of tree fruit, apples, pears, and really delightful out there. But the rest of Grand Junction is very dry if it's not irrigated, and that extends then westward into Utah and Moab. And so the climate is much more like the Moab area.
The state of Colorado, is it? It's pretty much cut in half by the Rocky Mountains. Is that right?
Pretty much, though the eastern half comes right up to the mountains, and so almost that half is just flat like Kansas. Mm-hmm. And then you have the mountain section, and then the western part is only about a third, the western development.
Okay. And this is, I mean, we're just kind of having a free-flowing conversation here. It came to me as you're describing, I mean, that to get from one, you describe it as almost two halves of the state based on where you are in terms of the Rocky Mountains, because...
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you're on one half, you're unlikely to, it's not just a hop, skip, and a jump to get to a town that might on the map appear to actually be pretty close, but because you have to go over the mountains, it might be.
Grand Junction was 250 miles west of Denver.
Wow.
And that was all through mountains.
Yeah.
As you come out of the mountains past Glenwood Springs, then you start dropping down into the western slope and the valleys out there. But you have a couple hours of driving through the mountains over the passes, Loveland Pass. Well, they have the tunnel now, Loveland Tunnel, or Vail Pass. And so in the wintertime, there's times where you can't pass. You know, you're stuck wherever you are. You're not going across the mountains.
Yeah. To me, that's familiar just as far as kind of driving in and out of Seattle.
Exactly.
Which is, yeah, what we...
Over Snoqualmie.
Right. You might get stuck in or out.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Well, that certainly adds an interesting character to the state.
Yeah.
How about Montrose? You said that you establish your practice in Montrose. That's in the western part of the state?
Western and about an hour south of Grand Junction. It was historically... a supply depot for the mining communities up in Ouray and Telluride. And because the original trains that came across the mountains came down south through Gunnison. It was only later that they went up north through what is now the I-70 corridor. So the first trains to the western slope were through Gunnison and down that way. It took some time before a train actually came over Vail Pass and got to Grand Junction. And so Montrose, when I was there, was about 30,000. And in and of itself, it was just a small little community, but it was a gateway to just tremendous areas, particularly the San Juan Mountains to the south, the resort towns of Ouray and Telluride, the big ski areas at Telluride, or back east a little bit, Crested Butte. So some really neat areas in the mountains around there.
So if one has never been to Colorado, what places would you recommend in terms of national parks, in terms of where to get a feel for Colorado?
Yeah, it kind of depends on what you're looking for. If you like people and traffic, then you should fly into Denver and drive around.
Or not leave the airport. That airport is huge.
DIA, yeah. There's... lots on the Front Range to see, from Long's Peak in the north outside of Loveland and Fort Collins. There's the University of Colorado's in Boulder, Colorado State University's in Fort Collins. There's another college in Greeley, so several colleges up there, as well as Denver University. And then Denver's typical city, all kinds of big sports, big entertainment venues. Mount Evans is outside of Denver, and it's about an hour's drive, and it's the highest paved road in the United States. You can drive all the way up to the top of a 14,000-foot peak.
Wow.
In Mount Evans, which is pretty cool. Down south, just outside of Colorado Springs, is Pikes Peak,
I was going to ask about that.
Yeah.
I've heard of Pikes Peak.
Yeah, and that's there's a dirt road going up that, so you can drive up in the summertime, or a cog railway. You can take a train ride and go up there. I just looked online last night, and this is tickets starting as low as $80. So it's like, man, that's gone up. I actually climbed Pikes Peak the day after Christmas once, following that railroad track. And fortunately, we didn't have a lot of snow. But it's beautiful once you're up on the top of these mountains, because you can look out over all the mountains. And when you're at 14,000 foot, incredible views, especially then if you look east and across the plains, you can just see forever.
You can see Nebraska.
Probably.
I've only been towards the western part of the state where dinosaur, and I found that to be fast as I scooted down towards Utah.
Yeah, Dinosaur National Monument is right up in the northwest corner of the state and is really a hidden jewel of a place to visit. They have this where they're digging out the fossils on this ridge. They stopped the digging at some point and have this huge building over it. So now you can go to this visitor center and see these bones still within the rock. And they postulated that there had been a drought and a lot of the dinosaurs died in this riverbed. And then water came up again and washed them down into this pool. And so all these bones are collected in this one area. And it's really phenomenal. Along in there, you can drive then down to the river, the Yampa or the Green River. And it's a really neat contrast being in these riverbeds in the midst of these towering cliffs and canyons and in a desert climate. It's really beautiful. It's really neat.
So what would you say is one of the differences between living up here in Sandpoint and your experiences of Colorado?
Water. Water. That's one of the main reasons I left, was it was getting too hot and dry for me. My house was about 7,000 feet in Colorado. In the summers, I'd have to spend indoors because there's just such intense solar radiation there. You're higher in atmosphere, and you have very few clouds, hardly any rain. And it was just hot and dry all the time, and that was really getting to me. You have some rivers, and I actually did a lot of kayaking, but the rivers tend to be fed by snowmelt, so are really cold. It's not a river you're going to go swimming in or tubing in. It's really cold stuff. And so I think water was the main thing in the climate. Here, the summer climate is similar to Colorado, hot and dry, though not quite as extreme. Winters here, though, get cloudy and rainy, and it's that way all the time, you know, almost consistently through the winter. You don't get that in Colorado. It stays sunny and usually bright. And so here, much more of a sense of four seasons, much more frequent precipitation. The forests here are green. Colorado's starting to brown out because of beetle kill. And the pine forests have been damaged by a lot of beetle kill. And so a lot of them are brown now. And it's just wonderful, the greenery that we have here, not only from the pines, but all the deciduous trees also.
You speak a little disdainfully, I would say, of the city of Denver, which is, of course, the most populous city in the state. And it's where, I mean, a big chunk of the population lives in Denver. It's by far the largest city. Is that a place you tend to avoid? Do you have any particular experience with the city?
I didn't have any particularly negative experience there. Mm-hmm. I was there for med school for 4 years, and it was okay. I think I'm the type of person, though, that I like the wild, I like the outdoors, I like the quiet of the forest, and you don't get that in Denver. It's one really nice thing about Denver in that area are bicycle paths. You can bicycle anywhere in Denver without having to stop at a street. It's just great. If you like bicycling and want a bicycling vacation, then that would be a wonderful place to go. because you can bicycle all over the Denver metropolitan area on these bike paths, which are really great. Mm-hmm. I think it's any city I kind of have disdain for just because of the amount of people and congestion and traffic.
Yeah. The state of Colorado, I think especially in maybe the 60s, 70s, into the 80s, really attracted a lot of notable people just trying to get away from it all. I'm thinking of John Denver, of course.
Yeah.
Well, Hunter Thompson.
Hunter S. Thompson.
Yeah, famously made his compound in Woody Creek, Colorado. And you yourself were drawn back to Colorado from where you had been living. I don't know. Can you talk about, I guess, what drew you back to Colorado? What brought you back there, and what brings people back there? What made Colorado such a sort of a magnet for a certain type of person that maybe Montana wasn't that, or Nevada wasn't that, other Western states?
Well, for me, it was having grown up there, so it was home.
Yeah.
And so that was a magnet. The mountains really are spectacular. Mm-hmm. Colorado, if you on average out elevation, is the highest state in the Union. There are 58 peaks over 14,000 feet.
Wow.
And so all of those mountains are going to have wonderful valleys and streams and used to be forests. And so places you could disappear and tremendous hiking, tremendous mountain biking. And I think that's what draws people. Some of the famous people are drawn to the resorts like Aspen, Vail, Telluride, Crested Butte. You know, these are hugely expensive places to live. Very, very beautiful. But, you know, you got to be able to ante up the bucks.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of wilderness still in Colorado. I remember hiking with my son up. We were climbing a 13,000-foot peak and looked across the valley at the opposite side of the hill, and the whole hill seemed to stand up and move. And it was a herd of elk that had just been resting there, and we disturbed them a little bit, and they got up and started moving away. And so I've seen lots of elk, lots of moose, deer, bear. So there's still a lot of wild in Colorado.
Mm-hmm. You said it was the water that drew you up here, the heat of Colorado, is kind of you got sick and tired of that. Did you notice? I mean, I think Colorado has changed a great deal in, say, probably in the period of time that you were there.
Yeah.
Culturally, more than, I mean, did you find the way that, I guess, Colorado was changing, the people of Colorado, and I guess the economics, you know, places that were affordable certainly were not, are not anymore. As you said, you really have to pony up to live in some of the places that were once kind of cheap retreats.
Yes, you know? I think over time that's happened a lot. Mm-hmm. I had a friend who was a builder in Telluride, building $14 to $16 million houses, and this was 15 years ago. Mm. When things are that kind of prices, the people who work there can't live there, and they have to move downriver or wherever where they can find places to live. In terms of the culture, I can't really speak to the Front Range because of not having been there, other than it was always so crowded whenever I went there. On the Western Slope, the feel of it was a lot like the feel here. Yeah, very rural. A lot of people very close to the land still raising cattle, some mining, not much forestry there, certainly not as much as here, but still a lot of people close to the land, a slower pace, slower lifestyle. And so that hadn't changed that much. As the population grows, that will. You know, everything just seems to speed up. But I think that's one of the things that appealed to me about Sandpoint was that slower pace and then closer connection to the land.
And probably one thing you haven't mentioned, Brad's a huckleberry picking friend of mine. And did you have huckleberries in Colorado?
No. You'd be lucky if you could find some wild raspberries or strawberries, but no huckleberries.
I wonder how far south or the range of huckleberries are.
Well, I know they have them in Oregon.
Yes.
Yeah, but I don't know.
I would think with the elevation, when you say all the peaks there, that there would be some huckleberries. But Brad, we want to thank you for...
Let me just mention one more thing. If anyone's planning to visit Colorado, especially skiing, is you have to watch out for elevation sickness. Each winter at the hospital I worked at in Montrose, we'd have 5 to 10 people come in over the course of the winter who would fly into Denver for a skiing vacation, drive right up to Telluride. And there was a house you could rent at 11,000 feet at Telluride. And people would go there and develop high altitude pulmonary edema or cerebral edema. It's rare, but it can happen. And then those people would have to be emergently rushed down and decreased in elevation, or they could die because of those conditions. And most people don't think of that when they go to Colorado, especially if they're going to go up in elevation.
So what elevation would you... Does it make a difference? Like here at Schweitzer, you don't have to worry about elevation, right?
Right. It's only up to 6,000-7,000.
Okay. So
we're in Colorado, you're over 10.
Okay.
And so if you go, a good idea is to spend a night in Denver. And then, like if you're going to Vail or Telluride, or stay at the base lodge for a night before you spend a night at the higher elevation, is take a little time to acclimatize, especially if you have underlying lung conditions. If you're really out of shape or overweight, or if you have any history of significant medical problems.
Good to know.
Brad, when's the next time you're going back? To Colorado. I was thinking of your last name. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm hopefully within the next year, I'll take a road trip down to, I still have two brothers down there. Well, actually three. I don't see the other one very much. And then my partner's from Albuquerque. And so we may take a trip and hit the family on the way. So probably within a year.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go.
Thank you so much for coming
in. Thanks for having me.
And thank you for representing the state, the centennial state of Colorado, and continue to enjoy North Idaho and KRFY.
All right.